as soon as someone mentions Parshas Shelach, one word comes to mind. Meraglim. Parshas Shelach and the Meraglim go together. And there's much to discuss about the Meraglim. So first we'll start off with some ideas we mentioned in the past. And then we'll go into some ideas that are a little bit new, a little bit different. Okay. The Rashi brings down right away, the first Rashi in the Parsha, Pasuk Beis, Shelach Lecha Anoshim. And Rashi asks, Lama Nismecha Parshas Meraglim, La Parshas Miriam. Why is the Parsha of the Meraglim next to the Parsha of Miriam? Last week's Parsha ends off with Miriam being punished for speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu, and this week's Parsha starts off with the Meraglim. What's the connection? And everyone knows the answer. Rashi tells us, Lafisha Loksa Liske Dibo. She was punished for Lashon Hara. She spoke against her brother Moshe. Rishoyim halalu ro, and these Rishoyim saw the lagachu musa, and they didn't take musa. Whatever happens, a person has to learn from. Whatever a person sees in this world, a person sees something happened. The frat, he sees an einish happen to somebody. He has to learn. He has to take musa, take a lesson. And these Rishoyim saw, and they didn't learn. They didn't take musa, and therefore the two parshiyos are connected together. For the Rosh Hashanah Kodesh is a beautiful, beautiful motion. The pasuk tells us, "Shiftecha mishantecha heima yinachamuni." Shiftecha is literally a stick, mishantecha, your staff, heima yinachamuni. They comfort me. And Rosh Hashanah asks, "How is it that shiftecha, your stick, comforts me? A stick is what's used for punishment, to hit somebody, to punish somebody. How is it heima yinachamuni? How do they comfort me? How do they comfort a person?" And Rosh Hashanah Kodesh explains with a very nice moshul. A father and a son once went for a walk through the forest. And the son said to his father, "Please take me." The father said, "It's very dangerous in the forest. If you promise that you'll stay together with me, you're not going to wander off, and you're not going to get lost, and you'll be right together with me, then I'll take you. But you can't get lost in the forest because it's very dangerous. And once you're lost, it'll be very difficult to find you, and the wild animals, and all kinds of troubles that come about in the forest." The son agrees, he's not going to get lost. And at first everything is fine. The father is walking in front because he has to clear the path and move the branches away and find the path, and the son is holding on, tagging along behind him. And the hours go on, and the sun is shining, and the son becomes a little bit bored. He's walking and walking and walking. They pass by a lake. And the son looks at the lake, and he sees the reflection of the sun in the lake. And the reflection is beautiful. He sees the sky and the sun, all different colors, and the son can't hold himself back. And the father keeps on walking, and the son takes a little detour off to the lake to see this beautiful picture that he sees in the lake. And he comes to the lake, and the son walks around, and the father keeps on walking until he finally realizes there's nobody behind him. The father turns around, and his son is not here. He doesn't know what happened to him. He looks here, he looks there, he calls his name. No answer. The sun is starting to set. The father is in a panic. He has to find his son before it turns dark. Can't let his son spend the night in the forest by himself. Calls his name. He tries to retrace his steps, where his son went. And he's looking and looking and looking. Can't find him. And he walks back. And he's looking and looking. And finally, after quite a while, he sees his son sitting on a rock overlooking the lake and taking in all the scenery and admiring all the surroundings. The father, in one sense, he's relieved. In another sense, he's very angry at his son. He has to teach his son proper behavior, how to behave. The father, without saying a word, looks up behind the son and he gives his son a patch. His son a zetz behind him.
Throws him in the lake.
No. He gives him a zetz. He gives him a punch. The son starts to cry, and the tears are falling, and he turns around to see who punched him. And when he sees his father, all of a sudden the son's tears stop, and he starts smiling. He's relieved that his father finally found him. Says Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the nimshel is very obvious. Mm. Sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we wander off. And we go off the proper derech, and we end off admiring the beauties of this world. We end off going off the derech. And what happens? Kodesh Baruch Hu comes looking for us. He has to give us a little patch sometimes to bring us back. But when we turn around and we see who gave us the patch, instead of crying and smile, the Kadosh Baruch Hu remembered us. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us back, wants us to come back. Whatever we see in this world is a lesson for us. Rishon halal ra'o, because Rishon saw. V'lagakhu musa, they didn't take musa. We see someone's punished, we have to think, it's an avera that was on. We have to learn. The Bali Musa will say, whenever someone learns a Gemara, you learn Agarata, you have to ask yourself, if this story is over, how would I have behaved? If this story would have been with me, how would I have behaved? I had that nisayon, I had that challenge, I had this story. What would have been my reaction? Am I ready to face up to that challenge? Am I ready to face up to that nisayon or not? A person has to know. He has to look around and take in what he sees. About for good purposes, to learn. Everything that happens in the world happens b'shvil Yisrael, happens because of us. On a general level, on a protheistical level, there's always what to learn from looking at the world. Looking around at all the current events in the world going on, it's all b'shvil Yisrael. Somehow, Klal Yisrael is in the middle, we end up in the middle of everything. Because the world revolves around us. The Goyim won't admit it, but the world does revolve around us, and everything is there for us to learn. Our job is, when we see what's happening in the world, to learn from it, and to learn what we're supposed to doing, and if we're not doing properly, to do tshuva. The Degel Machne Ephraim. The Degel Machne Ephraim was a grandson of Hashem Tov HaKadosh. He says the word Nasi. You find at the beginning of the parasha, Pasuk Beis again. The 12 Nasiim. The word Nasi is spelled Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph. Four letters. But it could be divided into two words. Yesh and Ayin. Nun and Aleph is Ein, and Sin and Yud is Yesh. A Nasi is a combination of Yesh and Ayin. Of having and not having. There are two types of Nasiim in the world. When a person has power, a person has a position of power, there are two types of people. There are those that suddenly use it, yesh, they make themselves into a yesh, they exist, everybody has to honor them, show them respect, everybody has to cater to their needs, yesh. Then there's the nasi, who becomes the ayin. He makes himself like a nothing. In other words, he knows that his whole position is only there to serve the tzibur. He knows that his job is not for his own benefit. His job is not there for his own gain, for his own wealth, his own honor, but rather he's ayin. He makes himself like an ayin, nothing, because his purpose is to serve the tzibur. He's only there to serve the tzibur. A nasi can be a yesh or ayin. It's up to each person when he has a position of kayach, a position of power, to decide whether he'll be a yesh, he'll make himself into a bal gaiva and use it for himself, or he'll use it the right way and be the ayin, and be mevatel himself, so to speak, before the tzibur, before the people that need him, in order to help them out. The koyach of a nasi is to be the ayin, to be able to take himself and to mevatel himself to the tzibur, and there to be able to serve the tzibur. Everybody in his life is in a position of a nasi at one time or another, whether it's on a small level, on a larger level. Everybody is some kind of a nasi, and a person has to know he's a nasi and he has a certain position. It's not for his personal yesh, but rather he has to mevatel himself. And he's there to serve the tzibur. The idea of the Meraglim is very difficult to understand. What was the chait of the Meraglim? You read the Pesukim very poshut, they went to Eretz Yisrael, they came back, and they said, we're not going to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The Pesukim tell us, Pasuk, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Efes, Ki Az Ha'om, the people are too strong, Amolek, Yoshev, and so on. They said that the land is an Eretz Achelas Yoshevelhi, we saw the Nephilim, and so on. Later on, they even speak stronger words, and they say, Ki chazoku mimenu. And the Gemara tells us, mimenu kevayachol, they said that the people in Eretz are stronger than Hashem, stronger than him, stronger than Hashem. It's very difficult to understand the chait of the Meraglim. Ayin Panim Utayra. There are many ways to understand the chait of the Meraglim. This way we mentioned in the past, we're going to send Eichshitz and others bring down this Mahalach, and that is that the Meraglim did not want to give up the existence they had in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar lived with Nisim. It was a miraculous existence. They lived with the Mon, they lived with the Be'er, they lived with the Anani Kavod. They were on a very high Madrego, they lived in a world of Nisim. They served Hashem with Nisim. They knew that once they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Nisim stopped, the Mon would stop, the Be'er would stop, the Nanei Kovet would go away, and they'd be in a world of Teva. They'd have to plow, have to plant, and they would have to grow and build, and so on. The world would revert back to Teva. They weren't ready to give up the Kedusha they felt, the Nisim they had in the Midbar, and they wanted to try to extend it as much as possible. Good, the way it was done and so on, fine. But that was the idea behind them, is that they lived in a world of Nisim, a world of Kedusha, a spiritual world. They didn't want to change into a physical world and give it all up by entering Eretz Yisrael. And they felt that it was Kedai to prolong the stay in the Midbar in a world of Nisim, a world of miracles. But they made a big mistake. Because they thought that a person could serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a world of Nisim, but not in a world of Teva. And the truth is, the opposite is true. That in the Midbar, we talk a little bit about Pi Nisim. But once we entered Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to serve Him Pi Teva. And a person could serve Hashem Pi Teva the same way. When a person plants, and a person plows, and a person builds, and a person works, but he does it with the right kavana, he does it the right way, he does it the way it's supposed to be done, that's just as Kadosh as a person living Pi Nisim. And not only that, it could be even on a higher level, because a person who works with Teva has tremendous nisyonos, tremendous challenges that he has to go through, whether it's at home, at work, wherever it might be, he has tremendous challenges that he has to overcome, which he doesn't have when he lives up Pi Nisim. The Mon fell every morning, the Be'er, the Anani Kavod, they lived in a spiritual world. It doesn't exist when it's Teva. And they didn't want to give up that. But the truth is, living up Pi Teva, a person could rise to great levels of Kedusha as well, living in a world of Teva. They say with a famous story, the Baditshiva, he said over him, one Yom Kippur, there was a younger man who davened in Baditshiva, in the Beis Medrash, and after Yom Kippur was over, Mitzvah Yom Kippur, everybody came to the Baditshiva to say, good yor, after Yom Kippur was over. And when this younger man came, the Baditshiva said to him, I want to tell you what happened in Shemayim when you davened. I'll tell you what you davened for, I'm going to tell you what happened. And he said to the younger man, the first night you davened, you said to Kosh Baruch Hu the following. This year you had a hard year. Panosu was very tight. Panosu was shver. And you started a little business selling fish. And you davened that you should be able to go back to yeshiva. You should be able to learn. You didn't want to have to bother with selling the fish and wasting all your time. So you davened to Hashem that you made a cheshbon. You need 120 gold coins for the whole year. So Hashem, this year, please send me 120 gold coins. I'll have it for the year. I'll be able to learn berevach, and And Yigal Man says, yeah, you're right. But Dishma says to him, and by Shachris, you changed your mind. You had a little charata. And you made a cheshbon, and you said that if Hashem gives you 120 gold coins in one shot, it's too big of an assignment. You're going to have all the money at one time, no telling what you're going to do with it, how you're going to use it. So you down with Hashem, you said, Hashem, how about 60 gold coins from now till Pesach? And 60 gold coins from Pesach to the end of the year. This way I'll have the 120 gold coins. But it won't be such a tremendous nisoyin. I'll have half now and half later. Yeah, you're right. By Mincha, you already had a third machshava. And you said to Hashem, no, that's not a good idea either. Because 60 gold coins is still a lot of money. How about 10 gold coins a month? Every month, 10 gold coins. Same 120, but 10 gold coins. Every year, Shchaydish, 10 gold coins. I have enough for the year. And this way, it will be good. By Ne'ila, you already have another machshava. And you said 10 gold coins is also a lot of money. How about 2 or 2.5 gold coins per week? Every week, send me 2 or 2.5 gold coins. I have just enough for that week, so I won't spend it on anything else. I'll use it just for my necessities, and this way I'll have what I need for the entire year. And Yigaman says, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And he said to Baditshiva, nu, tell me what happened in Shemayim. So Baditshiva said, your tefillos made a big rash in Shemayim, made a big tumult in Shemayim. But they answered no. The answer was no. And the Yigaman said, why? But I daven with pure kavanas, and it's only for good. I should be able to learn instead of having to go out and to work. Why wasn't my tefillah answered? Baditshiva says to him, how do you know what's more choshev in Shemayim? How do you know that in Shemayim, when you learn after a hard day's work, and it bothers you, that you aren't able to learn more, and it bothers you, you aren't able to be in the Beis Medrash, and you try to learn the 5 minutes you have here, and the 5 minutes you have there, and you convey Eitan to learn whenever you can, how do you know that that's not worth a lot more in Shemayim? When you learn with all your difficulties that you had and all the daggers that you had, and you still are kaveid and you still find time to learn, that's worth a lot more in Shemayim. We don't know exactly what's worth more and how they cheshbon us and how they evaluate us in Shemayim. Said to him, just because we think one way doesn't mean that that's necessarily the way they look at it in Shemayim. In Shemayim, you're learning under the rest, under a little pressure, when you're pressured for time, you have to worry about the parnasa, and you have this worry and that worry, you still find time to learn. That's so choshuv, that's worth more in Shemayim. And that was the answer that Yeshiva said to him. We don't always know what's best, we don't always know what our tafkid is. Whatever position a person finds himself in, our job is to make the best of it, and our job is to do what we can, and in Shemayim, a person who does what he can, that's very, very choshuv. Pasuk says later on, Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed. We have the Hashem is erech apayim v'rav chesed. The second, and the Bali Tosfos bring down, what does it mean v'rav chesed? Hashem is erech apayim v'rav chesed. Shemar b'chesed and b'riyos. But Hashem does much chesed with his creations. Hashem is rav chesed, Hashem is mar b'chesed. Hashem does much chesed. And Chazal tell us that the same way Hashem is a goyim of chesed, we're supposed to be goyim with chesed. Mahu rachum, afata rachum, mahu, Hashem is a goyim with chesed, we also should be goyim with chesed, do chesed. In the town where the Chofetz Chaim lived, it was a pharmacist. Who was a kaifer. He didn't keep any mitzvahs at all. He was a kaifer, machal Shabbos, from one end to the other. Bothered the Chofetz Chaim very much. Here there was this pharmacist in town. Everyone went to him for the medicine. He helped everybody out. He was a kaifer. Chofetz Chaim thought, what could he do to bring this person back? Speak to him, it's not going to work. What could he do? Chofetz Chaim walks into the pharmacy. In front of all the people there, he walks over to the pharmacist and he gives him a big hug and he says, what great schusim you have. What great schusim you have. What great schusim you have. Because of you, all the people in this town are healthy. All the people in this town are well. It's only in your schus that the people here are healthy and well, and you take care of them. When you come upstairs after 120 years, your schusim are so great because you took care and you kept all the people in this town healthy. And the pharmacist looks at him and he says, Rabbi, this is my job. This is my job. My job is to be a pharmacist. My job was to be out in the fields. I'd be in the fields. Chofetz Chaim says to him, you're right. This is your panosa. But even so, if you have this kavan in mind, when you serve people, when you give them medicine, that you're doing a chesed for them, and you're healing them, and you're helping them get better, it'll be a great schus for you. Have this in mind. It's true, it's your panosa, and that's why you're doing it. But it's not a steer. Have this in mind as well. Have in mind that you're helping people. Have in mind that you're keeping people healthy and stronger, and it will be a big schus for you. Chofetz Chaim walked out. The pharmacist took it to heart, and he started to have in mind when he helped people that he's healing them, he's doing them a chesed. One thing led to another. He said to himself, you know what? If I'm doing people a chesed, let me go all the way out. And he started greeting people when they came into the store. And he started being friendlier and so on. Until he went all out for the people that came into the pharmacy. And he showed them a lot of chesed. And one day it hit him and he said, you know, there are other mitzvahs in the Torah as well. Besides doing chesed, there are other mitzvahs in the Torah as well. There's a mitzvah putting on tefillin in the mitzvah of Shabbos. And slowly but surely, one mitzvah led to another mitzvah, and so on, until over time, he became a Baal Tshuva, and he changed his ways. But a little chesed, a person thinks chesed goes a long way. Whether it's chesed, in the sense you're actually helping somebody, chesed in the sense mechazik somebody, chesed in the sense even if you're doing your daily job, and you're helping somebody out when you're doing your job, have kavanah, you're doing a chesed to somebody, that's also a mitzvah. V'rav chesed, Hashem is mar b'chesed, Hashem is chesed and b'riyosov. Just like Hashem is going with chesed, we also have to be going with chesed. Noishay Oben, Yudalid Yudches. 14, 18. Yudalid Yudches. v'rav chesed. Okay, it's getting a little bit late. I want to learn, if you don't mind, do something a little bit different. In the back of Shmiras HaLoshin, we learn the halachas, but in the back there's a chiluk beis of Shmiras HaLoshin, and Chofetz Chaim has on each parsha, on some parshiyos, some divrei chizuk, and he has the parsha Shelach words that are going to change our outlook on life. Very powerful, powerful words. So I can't go through the whole thing. It's a few pages, but let's do what we can a little bit, and we'll give a whole different insight into the whole parasha of the Meraglim. More inside, just a little bit. Chofetz Chaim is bothered again by the whole idea of the Meraglim. What was the chait? What were they thinking? What was the cheshbon? And the frat is very difficult. They said that they're stronger than a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and not only did they feel like that, they convinced the Sanhedrin and Klal Yisrael. Chofetz Chaim goes along with the idea that the Meraglim tainted that a Kodesh Baruch Hu only do for Klal Yisrael nisim if Klal Yisrael deserves it. If Klal Yisrael is on a higher level. And the Meraglim said, we're not on such a high madrega. We just sinned with the Chet HaEgel. Last week's parasha was Mis'oinonim. Klal Yisrael were very difficult to deal with in the Midbar. They were quite difficult to deal with in the Midbar. So Meraglim felt that they weren't on a madrega where Kodesh Baruch Hu would do nisim for them. And therefore they came and they said, how can we go into Eretz Yisrael? Look how strong people are in order to go into Eretz Yisrael. Look what nisim we need in order to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. A winner on that madrega, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will do nisim for us. Just take a look on page Reish Yud Zayin, the top, it's underlined, V'lachein Kasher, 1, 2, 3, the fourth line, V'lachein Kasher, Hitziu Ufnei Meraglim, the Meraglim presented to Bnei Yisrael, Shem Doirom Einei Choshuv Be'eni Hashem, that their door is not Choshuv in the eyes of Hashem, it's Ad Roya Ma'aseim Ukshei Arpam, because of their beard Ma'asim and their stubbornness. For the Einam Ru'uyim Lasas Lohanes, and they're not Roy, they're not deserving for Hashem to do Nisim. With Gaber on Nochem Kayot to be strong over these giants, Neskabel Hadova Mo'id Beinahim. Klal Yisrael accepted what the Meraglim said. And that was what they felt. They honestly felt that they weren't on a Majrego Roy for Nisim. Okay. And when they went into Eretz Yisrael and they saw how strong the people were, how fortified the cities were, they said, there's not a chance. You know what Nisim we need? We're not Roy for Nisim. Next paragraph. Hine, al shtei atainas ha'egu heshivu Yoshua kolei b'ktzor. Yoshua and kolei answered back. Al ma sha'atem moitziim dibor. This day you moitziv dibor. For omem you say, shedikdaktem heitiv lerois ureism sha'avira ra. You saw, it's very difficult. Kein anachnu, ki anachnu avanu osu asa, we went to spy in Eretz Yisrael. Vidikdaktem lerois, we inspected the land. V'reinu, we saw, shetayv haaretz mo'ay mo'ayt. V'altayno harishayno. On the first time, Sha'atim Oimrim, that you say, Sha'aftochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'nesina Sa'aretz, that Hashem, when He promised to give us the land, is He dafko imniya tzadikim. If only if we be on a higher level with tzadikim, and we're not deserving. He tos meyikara. It's a mistake from the very beginning. It's wrong. That's a wrong way of thinking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einoi medaktek al ha'odom weimar. Very powerful words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not medaktek with a person to say, I'm only going to help you if you're tzaddik. Rak oy meloy. What does Hashem say to a person? Just the opposite. I won't help you if you rebel, if you're going to rebel against me. Not I'll only help you if you're tzaddik, but just the opposite. I won't help you if you are moirid. And therefore, the lezer, Yeshua called, answered back, and they said, Ach Bashem al timroidu. Don't rebel against Hashem. That was the answer back. You think that Hashem only does nisim for you if you're on the level of a tzaddik and you're not deserving? Wrong. As long as you don't rebel against Hashem, you can be zeichet nisim. Ach Bashem al timroidu. The chol zman shein odom moed ba'kodesh baruch hu rako mitzvoisiv v'kavono. As long as a person does not rebel against Hashem to be uprooted, to tear out his mitzvahs intentionally, yucho l'kavos u'choltov. A person can hope for all good. For nisim, you can hope for everything for the best. A person is deserving of tithe. It's a big mistake, that way of thinking, that only tzaddikim, Hashem does nisim. Klal Yisrael, Hashem is here to do good to us. As long as we follow the rules, we don't rebel. And that was their answer back, Ach Hashem al temoidu. Don't rebel against Hashem. Okay. Now I'm go through the whole piece, and go to the next page. And Chavetz Chaim says that we have the same Yetzirah in our generation. We have the same Yetzirah in today's day and age.
We don't have a second
page. Yeah, Reshit Tess. Okay. Sorry. We have a second page. Okay, Reshit Tess. You can look at it inside. It's in Shmir Salash and Pashas Shalach and Chiluk Sheni. It's a big piece, but it's very worthwhile to see the whole thing inside. We have the same Yetzirah in our generation as well. We want to learn, we want to do better. The Yetzirah says, when you're in a madrig of a tzaddik, then you can do better. Who are you fooling? You're not a tzaddik. You don't have, it's for tzaddikim. We're not such great tzaddikim anyway. We're not so good. Very powerful words that apply to everybody. On page Reshutes, Ach Ochein Be'emes, the second paragraph. Ochein Be'emes, Zuvitois Meikoroi. It's a mistake. Here. You could look back at the paragraph before. He ends off, the Ish Kazez, Zaycha Gan Eden, Avaloya Noshim Pshutim Kmoini. People say, I'm not going to Gan Eden, I'm a Poshut, that's from Big Sadiq. It's a mistake from the beginning. It's wrong. Very powerful words. What is asik be'isikla? Torah is not mechayev a person that he should learn day and night and not be isik in parnasa at all. Rakshi is asik be'isik. A person has a right to earn parnasa, work, but he has an obligation to be kvei itim l'toyro. That's what the Torah is mitzavos. The business should be honest. Without any tricks. When you ask a person, were you honest in business? What's the second question? The same is true by all the mitzvahs. When you examine, you look into it well, nimsa we find, al-hod. The Torah is not machmir on a person. What did I do to you? Answer me. A person has to be careful. A person has to be careful not to rebel against Hashem. Dahaina, which means, he shouldn't be mevatel actively a mitzvah asay shel Torah, a mitzvah asay shelo lekayim not mekayim it, or a lav on bayidayim a halav on shibat Torah, or to be over actively a lav in the Torah. Avol emenenu meire, the person who does not rebel, bevada yizkel lemayla ba'ofen yosef nala. In Shemayim, he's considered very choshev. That's our job. Avada is somebody who could learn, and somebody who's learned Beis has a different achrayis. But somebody who's out in the world, his job is not. So Yumal Koyan, he has a right to be Isaac Ben Parnasa and do whatever he has to do for his Parnasa, but be kavei to Matira, and the Ikir is Al Timoid, Bashem Al Timoid. Don't rebel against Hashem. Don't be Mavato Mitzvasei, and don't be Oiver Alav in the Torah. And one who does that, he's Zeichet to great things. Very powerful, powerful words. People sometimes tend to think that because of what I'm doing and my situation in life, I'm going to mount, I'm not a tzaddik, I'm not such a high madrega, I'll never be Zeichet. It's not true. Toys make a mistake from the beginning. Every person, whatever his job is, whatever tafkin he has in life, whatever position he's in, altamoidu. The ikir is not to rebel against Hashem. It makes the whole outlook a little bit easier now. When you're dealing a whole day with the job, you're with this situation, that situation, instead of sitting and thinking, oh, what am I doing here? A person, fakert, Hashem altamoidu. Whatever mitzvah I have, I'll do. Be careful not to be over the lavin. Hashem al temoidu, not to rebel. That was the mistake of the Meraglim. They thought that Hashem only does nisim, only one of my dreg of great tzaddikim, or not zeich. Wrong. Hashem does nisim to us as long as we behave properly. As long as it's Hashem al temoidu. And that was the answer that Yeshua and Kolev gave to Meraglim. Avad, a person has to prepare himself. He has to know what nisyanis that will come up, how to prepare for it, how to deal with them when they come up. But the ikir is Ach Hashem Al Temoidu, not to rebel against Hashem. Mitzvah say, and not to be over the Rabban. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous idea, and tremendous chizik to everybody. Ach b'Hashem el temroidu. It makes it a little easier when you go out into the world. What's the ikar? Ach b'Hashem el temroidu. You have a list, what you can do, what you can't do. Ach b'Hashem el temroidu. Not to rebel against Hashem. So it's taka b'zoicha. Shlo b'zoicha. That we should not make the same mistakes the Meraglim made, and we should realize that every person has potential, and we could achieve great heights. And Ach b'Hashem el temroidu, we should be able to watch ourselves, especially in the summertime, when the world becomes a little bit hefker. Tammuz and Av is brought down a month where the Yetzirah has a special shlita during these 2 months. That's where the Churban took place, Tammuz and Av. These are months where the Meraglim also was at Chof Tassivan. They went out, they came back during the month of Tammuz. Tammuz and Av are months of Yetzirah is a certain kayach. We see in the summer, B'chad, Yetzirah always has a certain power. Everything becomes loose, becomes a little bit hefker. Let's be mechazik ourselves, Ach b'Hashem el temroidu, shnach b'zaycha, to see these in the flaws, and see Mashiach, so came here, remain, amen.